Letters and Manuscripts, Volume 12, 1897. An Appeal to Our Teachers at Battle Creek, 1897. Previously unpublished. I appeal to the teachers in our school at Battle Creek. Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. Be faithful to the light God has given, and regulate the conduct by His Word, for therein is contained the declaration of His will. The Holy Spirit alone can render this effectual. The plain "Thus saith the Lord" enlightens the understanding. Look to God and seek to honor God, and the more you study His Word, the more light will you receive. And the language of the soul will be, "Great and marvelous are Thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are Thy ways, Thou King of saints. Who shall not fear Thee, O Lord, and glorify Thy name?" Revelation 15, verse 3, 4. I say in the name of the Lord, give your attention to this word. The Lord has ever existed in perfection from all eternity. He has been ever what He now is, I am that I am, the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Exodus 3, verse 14. Isaiah 57, verse 15. This is His title. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Psalm 90, verse 2. I am the Lord, I change not. Malachi 3, verse 6. With Him is no variableness or shadow of turning. The ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and He pondereth all His goings. Proverbs 5, verse 21. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. Proverbs 15, verse 3. He looketh to the ends of the earth, and seeth under the whole heaven. Job 28, verse 24. The Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. He knoweth the things that come into our minds, every one of them. There is no creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Hebrews 4, verse 13. We beseech of teachers and students to study the Word and practice the Word. Do not do as Adam did, insult his Maker by believing the words of Satan and disbelieving the words of the Lord. But then the Lord did not leave the fallen sinful pair. The Lord removed His blessings, cut off their access to the tree of life, but gave them the gospel promise to send an invincible deliverer into the world to be received, to be worshipped, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What will remove the absolute blindness of man with respect to his Creator? He who does not search the Scriptures cannot know God. A life of selfishness will be chosen, a life of self-indulgence lived, and a life of obedience to all of God's commandments will be considered a restraint upon the human mind. There is need of teaching the Word far more positively than it has been done. What is a life of obedience to God? It is a decided withdrawing from Satan's sway and giving the whole heart in obedience to God, giving allegiance to God, whose we are by creation and by redemption. It is cutting off the supplies he has received from Satan in any line and seeking God with the whole heart. This is freedom, high, elevating, and ennobling. It makes a man a blessing to all around him. The natural passions that are so often seen are cleansed from the soul, for the Lord is formed within the hope of glory. Look now at the one who chooses self-indulgence before a life of entire obedience. What is obedience? Paying our allegiance to the most merciful, gracious Savior and discharging our duty to Him as to a kind, tender Father. Look at the opposite of this. What do we behold of those who serve sin? It is a picture we do not love to behold, for it is ignorance and defilement, roughness and unholiness, obstinately standing in His own wisdom. A spirit is revealed to give their fellow workers less and less through their own management. The will of God works in laying open the evils which, if followed, will bring human passion in collision with God. The will of God is protesting against the passions and attributes of Satan that are taking captive the minds of men, and this makes a collision. There have long been unconverted men in positions of trust. We know that they have been at some time in their lives converted, but they did not stay converted. They yielded to Satan's sway and were not opposed in their work and influence. While they were presented as representative men who were worthy of confidence, there was no open, decided collision. But when God undertakes to set things in order, then, if truth and righteousness get the vantage ground, they must fight every inch to drive back the power Satan has gained to bring everything under his dominion. Satan will not submit to be cast out without tremendous opposition. If truth and righteousness conquer, the hearts that love the truth of God must absolutely and zealously rebuke and expel wrong. In this conflict, when truth takes possession of the heart, nothing but conflict and disturbance may be expected. For God calls upon every man to do his duty. And the full Spirit of the living God, which has been finding no place, shall have room to work out the victory. There can be no right longing only as the Holy Spirit shall begin at the heart, out of which flow the issues of life. And poor souls who have been deceived and deluded shall send up the earnest prayer, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Psalm 51, verse 10. And the response from one who is merciful, full of goodness and truth, will be, "A new heart will I give you." Ezekiel 36, verse 26. The voice of God is heard. "Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." Psalm 2, verse 10-12. "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness, and from all your idols, will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments, and do them." Ezekiel 36, verse 25-27. The Lord has been greatly displeased, and his name dishonored by the men standing in holy places. Oh, why do not men learn that God will not serve with their own natural, unconverted hearts? Oh, that men would learn the simple lesson that in their relationship as superiors, inferiors, or equals, there is to be a pure, clean heart wherein dwelleth righteousness, through the creating power of the Holy Spirit. Then the whole building, fitly framed together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. The church would have the deep movings of the Spirit of God in their midst. The world would not have the supremacy, and the church would not be chained to its ungodly ways by the example of men professing the truth but holding it in unrighteousness, because the attributes of Satan are cherished in the heart. When the Holy Spirit is admitted into the heart, the very first work is an aspiration for the friendship of God, and then next, a perpetual longing to walk in the ways of true goodness and righteousness and the love of God.